This is the last Lord's Day that we will be together for this year. Where is the year gone? And I also want to present to you this evening is look back on this year, this 2016. Is there something in 2016 that you never or did not forgive somebody of something? The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. Jesus has a lot to say concerning forgiveness. People talk about forgiving, but yet in many people's lives is much harder to apply. It's easy to talk about, but many people find it hard to apply to their lives. We want to look this evening is just simply this, three modes of Christian forgiveness. Looking at forgiveness is from the biblical standpoint of how God, what God tells us about forgiveness and how we can put that into our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to begin with in Colossians chapter 3. And let's read there beginning in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Paul, writing to these brethren here, the church of Colossae, speaks of a character concerning the Christian should have. The character involves an understanding of our relationship with God. As God's holy, as God's elect. Peter talks about that as well, that you know, we are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. Need to understand that, in looking at this, understand what relationship that we have to God. We are God's holy people, God's elect people. And a character that involves an understanding of the type of heart we are to have. It begins there in verse 12, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. There's a characteristics that we need to take on as Christians. This character that involves an understanding of the type of attitude we are to have toward one another's faults. That of forgiving each other, he says. Forbearing one another and forgiving each other. Jesus forgave us, did he not? He forgave us of our sins, did he not? Paul tells his brethren here, as the Lord forgave you, you forgive as well. The subject of Christian forgiveness. There's much misunderstanding regarding the subject. Some say we should always forgive regardless of the attitude of the offender. Some say that one should only forgive if asked for forgiveness. But what should we do about forgiving people who are not Christians? What is God's role in forgiveness? We're going to try to answer some of these questions here this evening. In this lesson, In this lesson, we look at three forms, if you will, of Christian forgiveness found within the Scriptures. Forgiveness of sin, forgiveness as an attitude, and forgiveness in matters of opinion. What I want us to get out of this lesson is simply this, that we should be able to understand these three unique forms of forgiveness in the Bible and know when and when not to apply each one. My hope is to impress upon our hearts the understanding that the Bible speaks of forgiveness in this way. Let's begin looking here first at forgiveness of sin. That is granted to God. God is the only authoritative figure that can forgive sin. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 2. Let's read here beginning in verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one? Even God. And straightway Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. They were right in what they were saying there, that the only one, the only authority that one has that to forgive sins is God. They were right in saying that. But they were wrong in thinking that Jesus was not God. They didn't recognize him as the Son of God. Therefore, he did not have the authority in their eyes to forgive sin. Matthew 28 and verse 28, Jesus says, All power and all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That authority to forgive sins belongs with Jesus. Being God in the flesh, he has that right. He has that authority to do. Forgiveness of sin, so, is accomplished through the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. It took the blood of Jesus Christ for man to have forgiveness from God. It took the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God for man to have the hope, to have man cleansed, purified from the filth of sin. No one else could do that. But Jesus, the Lamb without spot, was that perfect sacrifice to do that. That Lamb of God, that the Son of God sent by God to forgive men of their sins. Matthew 26 and verse 28 says, For this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. God providing that sacrifice. That gives him the authority among everything else, about him being God, but that gives him the right to forgive man of his sins. Because he provided the way, he provided the one for man to have forgiveness. Could he have chosen another way? Absolutely. Would he have the right to choose another way to forgive man of their sins? Absolutely. But he chose for man to have redemption through the blood of his Son being shed. He has that authority only to forgive men of their sins. We can forgive someone who has sinned against us. We can't forgive the sin, but we can forgive those actions of the sin. We can forgive them for sinning against us. That's it. But the sin itself belongs in God's hands for Him to forgive that one of. Sin separates the Christian from the non-Christian. Those on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told them to repent and be baptized unto remission of sins. And as you read on down through there, we read that about 3,000 were obedient that day. How many were there? I don't know. But sin separates the Christian from the non-Christian, the righteous from the unrighteous. When Paul writes to the Corinthians in the first letter in chapter 6 and verse 9, beginning there, he says, "Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He's writing there to the church in Corinth. He first describes here that the unrighteous, he said, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He says, you were part of that crowd. You were those. He goes on there, and such were some of you. But you are no longer those. You are no longer that person. You were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Sin separates the Christian from the non-Christian, the people of God from the people of the world. He describes it another way as Christians in our ongoing pilgrimage upon this earth. We're to walk in the light. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. One with another. Christians, we have fellowship one with another, if we walk in the light. If we're not walking in the light, then with fellowship is where? Who are we having fellowship if we're not walking in the light? Those of the world. And darkness, we have fellowship with darkness. But as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Forgiveness of sin is conditional upon our repentance and our confession. Two verses down there in verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. He is the only one that can do that. But it takes us confessing our sins and repenting of our sins for Him to forgive us of our sins. In Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was told there, verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness." And Simon the sorcerer was a believer. He had believed. He was a Christian and he had sinned. He said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. And pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee." We have to continue walking in the light if we're to have fellowship one with another and with Jesus Christ. But it is also conditional upon us forgiving others their trespasses as well. in Matthew chapter 6, if we're going to continue to walk in the light, it is conditional upon us that we forgive others of their trespasses. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See how important forgiveness is? See how important that we can't hold a grudge against someone who has done something wrong against us. Not only is it detrimental to our mental health, it's detrimental to our soul. If we can't forgive that one of whatever it might be, however small or however big it may be, if we cannot forgive them of that, God is not going to forgive us. That holds eternal consequences. Notice Jesus' comments here in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. It says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What do we read into that? It says, hold it over his head for as long as you want to and make him pay for it. Where do we read into that in there? Jesus says, if he turns to you and say, I repent, there's a command there, thou shalt forgive him. Do you see an option there? I don't. Jesus teaches this over in Matthew's account here as well. But he specifically teaches or talks to Peter, and that uses a parable to illustrate what he's saying. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Notice the story as go on. We won't take time to read it all, but the story and the context there of the servant who sought forgiveness from his master because of money owed to him. His master forgave him, but there was some money, a much smaller amount that somebody else owed this servant, and he refused. He was forgiven, but he refused to forgive. Asking for forgiveness or asking for repentance is not necessarily there excluded by Jesus' direct comments to Peter. Forgiveness of sin can only be granted by God. No one else. No one else even remotely comes close to that, to having that type of authority upon this earth. Let's look here for a few moments here. This forgiveness as an attitude. It is a state of mind that we need to have. It is an attitude that we need to have to be able to forgive. If our attitude is that we're just, that I'm not going to forgive this one just because I don't want to, just because he did it to me once, he's going to do it again. There is no forgiveness. There's never going to be forgiveness with that type of attitude. And that translates not only to maybe one that did something wrong against you, but it's going to translate to others too. Well, I'm not going to forgive this one either.
He hasn't done anything to me yet, but when he does, I'm not going to forgive him. It doesn't stop. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. On the cross, Jesus said to God the Father, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." After all that Jesus had been through, and then to be nailed upon the cross, Jesus still had an attitude of forgive them. God, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
In Acts chapter 7, Stephen had this similar attitude here of Jesus. After preaching to the crowd there, they took Stephen and stoned him to death. And as he took him, he looked up into heaven. He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." It's an attitude. Forgiveness is an attitude that we need to have. It's a characteristic of God. It's a characteristic of Christ. And if we are imitating Christ, we need that characteristic in our life. God's attitude toward those of this world who continually sin against Him, who continually reject Him, who continually reject His Word. His attitude is displayed and written to us by Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack to you, or as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, word, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It is long-suffering to us. Long-suffering to those who reject Him, who mock Him, who refuse Him, who criticize Him. God's long-suffering to them. God's attitude is, they're worth saving. And I don't wish them to perish, but to come to repentance. Too many people have the attitude is, I'm done with them. They're not worth it. They're not worth my forgiveness. They've done me wrong so many times that they're just not worth it. They're not interested in my forgiveness. So why should I forgive them? How many people in the world are interested in God's forgiveness? Out of the 7 billion people in this world,